Welcome everybody to today's graduate call. We'll be going over a pretty new topic that I'm sure that many people have not heard about so far, which is pretty cool. It's going to be on the topic of native advertising. So we have a few callers on the line here so far. Linda, you're on the call, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So as I mentioned, if you have any questions about this at all, and anyone else, feel free to chime in and ask your questions. I'm glad to discuss those as we move forward and make sure that things are a bit more customized, especially the callers on the call here today. So, we'll be talking about native advertising and what that all is about, and when you go onto all these different networks like social media outlets such as Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and so forth. And I'll even point out, a lot of these native advertisements that, you might not even be aware of that are right in your stream. And these are all ads that are right in line with native advertising. That's what that is. So native advertising is all about taking what you have to offer, your ad, your offer, the images, the text, whatever you have to present in an ad, and then you present that in the environment where it's currently located. It kind of blends in. If you think of it as a native person, that person just blends in the whole environment there where they live, right? And that's what a native ad is. And so we're going to go in depth on really how to do that and how you can go about taking the native advertising approaches that we discussed and create your own ads. And you can easily get started off with doing native advertising, just as soon as today or tomorrow. It's not a super difficult thing, but there is obviously, just like with anything, proper steps to take in order to do it effectively. And we'll also discuss how native advertising is changing the entire advertising world. It hasn't been it's not like super, super new, because Google, introduced it a while back ago, but more and more advertising platforms are adopting this approach, to advertising, and we'll discuss, the reasons for that, okay? But, so let's jump into things here. So first is, I've already discussed what native advertising, but just to quickly recap, native advertising is about advertising what you have to offer in the environment where your ad blends into the environment. Now you've been to I'm sure different websites that the advertisements are blatantly right in front of you. You can tell the difference between an ad and the actual content that you're looking at, right? Well, that's not a native ad. Okay, if you can tell the difference right off the bat on what that ad is compared to the content that you're looking at, then that's not a native ad. And if they're trying to do native advertising, then they're not doing it well enough. Okay, so native advertising just blends in with the whole environment. Okay, and so we'll take one of the first examples. We'll talk about the different platforms out there that you can get your idea, your business, your products out there in front of people. Okay, which is what marketing is really all about, is creatively educating people about what your product and service is all about, and then inviting them to take action. Okay, so that's what native advertising is. Okay, so how do you go about creating an ad? Okay, that blends in. I'll give you some examples of this as well as we start to go through the platforms such as Google and YouTube and Facebook and LinkedIn and Pinterest and so forth. I'll share with you some examples, and we can log in there, and I'll show you kind of pinpoint just exactly what they look like, so you can see, and also observe from what other people have been doing and are doing right now, so you can do a great yourself. And I'll show you what the best practices are as well. Okay, there's some do's and don'ts about native advertising, and we'll discuss that in more depth. So let's talk about next the process of creating a native advertisement. Okay, we've discussed what it is, but how do you go about creating one? So it just about it's the same way you go about creating a regular ad. However, the biggest difference is that you want to create a bit more content. So instead of saying, buy now or check out my stuff to buy, okay, you want to be able to blend it into the environment. So if you were to go to, let's go to Facebook, okay? Facebook is pretty enormous, especially as of the past 6 months with the whole native advertising, revolution. they're really taking off with it. And so when you go to Facebook, okay, you've been to Facebook, obviously, right, Linda?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So up at the top, right when you log in, you'll see your feed, right?
Yes.
Okay, when you look at your feed, there's a bunch of different articles and things that people are posting all the time, right? It's like a stream. It's always moving. Okay, there's always content streaming through the feed here on your Facebook account, and it's always going through. So every single minute or less, there's always some new update or new post or latest status update from someone in your network of friends. So as you start to observe all the different status updates that people put in here in the stream, you want to be able to create an ad that looks like all these types of posts and status updates that people are posting and sharing. Okay. So as you start to scroll down through your feed, and you'll notice that once in a while you'll see these updates or these status updates from people or companies that it says sponsored. Okay, if you scroll down a little bit more and you look underneath the name of the person or the company, it'll say sponsored if it's an actual ad. Okay.
Okay.
So, do you see any of them yet?
I can't find one right now, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm looking
for one. Okay. Well, those are native advertisements. Okay. They blend in with all of the other content that's in your feed from your friends and your friends' network with Facebook. Okay. Those are different, right, compared to the Facebook ads on the right-hand side. Because on the right-hand side, that those are ads, right?
Right.
Okay. And there's a difference between, obviously, the two, not just in the differences of where they're located, but also in the terms of the type of audience that these ads attract. Okay. The native ads that are all a part of the whole stream there in your feed, usually are more effective because people are looking at the feed a lot more compared to the ads. People don't go to Facebook purposely to look for ads to click on, right?
Correct.
I don't know of anyone who just purposely looks for ads to click on. But, with the native ads in the feed, it just blends in, and that's one of the biggest benefits of pursuing native advertising for yourself in your own business is thinking about what kind of information you can share that gets them interested enough to click on the ad. And so the biggest difference here, like I was just pointing out here, is that these ads, the native ads, just blend in with the whole environment in the stream. Okay, that makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. So in order to develop your native ad, when you look at a lot of these ads that other people have developed, they usually develop a few sentences right before, and then they put a picture or a video, and then they have a few other lines of text right below it. And you can do this inside of your advertising account with Facebook. Okay. You can also create a post or a status update on your Facebook page, okay, on your business page. Okay, not your personal page, but your business Facebook page. And you have one of those, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, you would go there and create a post, and then you'd be able to boost it or market it. That's one way. But on another call, and even when you call in, we can show you in more depth, more of the technical steps. because this is more of an overview and giving you a clear picture of what native advertising is and how you can go about doing it for yourself. But like I said, if you want to get the application, then just call in and we can help you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so as far as the development, though, of your native ad, that's basically the structure or the anatomy of the ad, is that you want to put usually a few lines of text and explain just a little bit about the benefits, okay? It should create curiosity, and there's a lot of commonalities between creating a native ad compared to a blog post. When you think of creating blog posts, you know, one of the first things you do is you come up with a curiosity-driven headline, right?
Yep.
Let me share with you an example here of curiosity-driven headlines. So if you were to go over to sfglobe.com, so S as in Sam, F as in Frank, Globe, G-L-O-B.com. Okay, go to sfglobe.com. This is a pretty fascinating site, because especially for marketers, because you'll see what I'm about to talk about here in just a second. So once you have it pulled up, let me know. This is going to be a quick education lesson on how to develop curiosity-driven headlines, all right? So once that site pulls up, you'll see on the right-hand side a bunch of different featured posts. They also have a blog on here, but this is it's pretty interesting how they structure all of their headlines. Okay, this headline says, "From outside, looks like a normal house. I stepped inside and was shocked." And well, it doesn't spill the beans on exactly what was inside or outside, and when that person stepped in, why that person was shocked, right?
Yeah.
Okay, another headline. She was asked to pose at the beach, but was never prepared for this. Hilarious. another one, they put a homeless man in a suit to see what happens. The result? Ridiculous. And then has, a little arrow pointing at the man's suit and the homeless dude standing next to him. Okay, as you sort of look at all these examples of the headlines, all of them are curiosity-driven, right? Another headline, after seeing these photos, I'll never look at Earth the same way again. Unreal. Okay, there is an element of, sensationalism in it, and that's a huge element also in the media, isn't it? of getting people's attention. But when you think about your products and services and the way that you're marketing them, you want to be able to create curiosity. Because the whole point with your advertisement is to get people to click on it first, okay?
Yeah.
It's not to spill the beans, meaning it's not to give them all the details. It's not the, you don't even have enough room to barf on them yet, okay? And nor do we want to barf on them. We want to get them interested enough to click on it, and then they'll be able to get the details, okay, the meat. Cool? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so I challenge you to look through a bunch of other articles on that site on sfglobe.com. It's a pretty fascinating site in helping you understand more about creating curiosity-driven headlines. Because you want to take the things that you learned there, and you can duplicate a lot of the headlines there in customizing them to your own purposes with the ads that you create. Okay, so when you go back to Facebook or any of the other platforms that we talk about here today, you can implement the same principles. Okay, but number one is you create a curiosity-driven headline or paragraph that gives them more detail, but not everything, not all the details. Okay.
Okay.
When you read the headline or when you read the text there, then you should be interested enough to click on the image or the button to get more information, okay? That's what you should be compelled to do or influenced to do. So in Facebook, it's actually, it's pretty nice because you have a lot more room to put more text, okay? You'll see native advertisements that have a lot more text. And you got to test this out, which is a huge element of marketing. You're always testing, discovering what one presentation compared to another presentation of ads does and how they perform when they are stacked up next to each other. Okay, so that's the whole the breakdown of how to create the starting of a native ad. So make sure it's curiosity driven. It gives them enough information, enough of the details to click on it and send them on to the next step, which is to take them over to the landing page. Okay, that landing page could be your website. It could be your Facebook page. Okay, it could be any page internally or externally. Okay, that you want to market and share with them. So, what's one of the products that you have to offer, Linda? We'll just customize it to you here on the call.
Okay, mine's life coaching.
Okay, so you want to get clear about who you're targeting, right? You're always going to want to be aware of who your audience is, so you can customize the ad to them. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one of the cardinal rules in advertising is you always got to be aware of who are you marketing to. So who would you be interested in presenting your offer in front of?
In front of women who are going through a divorce or have had abuse.
Okay, excellent. So what you'd want to do is construct a few lines about what you have to offer. So what's your offer? Your life coaching, what exactly is it? Is it a month-to-month thing, or what exactly is your deal, your offer?
Well, I have different avenues. I have email, I have phone, and then I have, coaching.
Yeah, well, let's take coaching. You have a coaching package that you could offer?
Yes, I do.
Someone could buy? Okay. How much is it?
$300 for a month.
Okay. So that's the goal, right? You want them to be persuaded to see the value of this $300 coaching package for a month and buy it. Okay, so the first step is to get them curious. Okay, it's like, oh wow. Okay, so one of the some of the major elements that you can include to get them curious is, think about the outcome that they are wanting to enjoy. What do you think they would like to enjoy as a result of going through your coaching program?
Being less stressed with all of the. The drama of it all.
Okay, less stress. Okay, cool.
More
what else
have a focused goal.
Okay, getting clarity and setting their goals.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So think about the major benefits, okay, that they're likely to enjoy as a result of going through your coaching for a month. Okay, think as if they've already gone through it, okay? They've already gone through your coaching in a month. Now what's the output? What better person are they now? Describe that person. Okay, the before and the after person who goes through your program, you want to be able to describe that person. Okay, before you start, this is who you are right now. Okay, right now, this is what you're experiencing, speaking to the women that you're wanting to market to. And afterwards, this is what you can enjoy. This is what you could achieve because, you've gone through my program, or this is what you can achieve because I'm offering this. And once you buy it, you'll be able to, accomplish this, okay?
Okay.
So always talk in terms of benefits, okay? And then once in a while, it may make sense to include a few features, just depending on just exactly what you're offering. But in your case, you're offering coaching, and so some of the features compared to benefits of your coaching could be what? What are some of the features?
Personalized.
Is it online? Is it in person?
It could be online. It could be phone. So that would be a feature that it could be through email. Phone,
Skype. That's another feature. Okay, these are all features. Okay, that help people understand just exactly how they're going to be interacting with you. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, you can include those too. That's fine too. Okay, but it really should be at least 80% more, driven towards a benefit or benefits that you're presenting in your ad. Okay.
And
about 20% or less in terms of features that you're discussing, okay? Because the benefits are going to really get their emotions going. Yeah, the reason why we act and do what we do is because the emotion compels us to take that action, and the benefits speak to our emotions, okay?
Okay.
Okay, it's just like the differences between the emotions that you feel when you hear Skype and living a life of freedom. You know, big difference, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So do that, okay, with your benefit-driven text, and then next is having an image. Now, your image, wherever you can place an image, for the most part, okay, it's a strategy. It's not an absolute principle all across the board, but it's a strategy in terms of using an image. The image that you use, it doesn't always have to be relevant to the text. Okay, it's very interesting how a lot of these images that people use, whether, I don't know exactly all the stats from other people who are doing native advertising, but I do native advertising myself. The ads, that I use a lot of time are not specifically relevant to the text, because the image is there just primarily for the purpose of getting their attention. Okay?
Okay.
We have a lot of people going to Facebook, right? I mean, there's last month over 1.2 billion people that went to Facebook. And they're looking at all kinds of things. I mean, just looking at the screen on Facebook right now, there's a lot of images right in front of me. Just at the glance, there's 5 images staring at me in my face right now. And where's my eye going to go naturally? Okay, it's usually going to go to the image that really stands out the most and gets my attention, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you want to be able to direct that interest, that attention, towards an image that, gets their eyes looking at it, and then when they're there, the text should lure them in, okay, to get more detail, and then third, have them click on the button or click on some type of link to take the next action. Okay? So it's in that flow. That whole flow process that I just barely described is the whole thinking pattern that you should be going through. What kind of image is going to get their attention? Because the text isn't going to get their attention first.
Right.
It's going to be the image that's going to get their attention first. Okay? So make sure that you don't have a butt-boring image. Okay?
Okay.
Get an image that, gets their attention and also has color to it. Maybe yellow or neon green, or it doesn't always have to be, super flashy colors, but usually colors that stand out good or great to use. Okay.
Okay.
So, big point there is use an image that gets their attention. Okay, that's the very first thing that people are going to see, and then second, we've already talked about the text and so forth, and then third is the call to action. Okay, the call to action. You can customize this when you create your ad inside of Facebook and anywhere else. Is the call to action can be relevant to it, which would be good. It could be like the page, like page, or download, or learn more, or whatever you want it to say. Okay.
Okay.
You'll see as you start to observe through the whole flow of your feed there with Facebook, you'll see a lot of different ads in there that have different calls to action buttons in there. And just depending on what you're promoting, in your case, since you're promoting a $300 coaching package for a month, it may make more sense to have the button say, learn more, okay? Because they're not buying anything right then and there. That's not your goal. Your goal is to educate them and get them interested enough to take the next step, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then the next step, once they click on the button, where are they going to be taken, or where should they be taken?
Well, for me, it would be my website.
Okay. They would be taken to your offer page on your website in your case, right?
Yes.
Yeah, where they can get the full, the full skinny down, the rundown on the whole deal, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So now with the buttons or calls to action, you can also place calls to action inside of the text as well. Okay, so you can use, you can hyperlink. You know what hyperlinking is, right?
Yeah.
So links, buttons, or text that's clickable. So you can take certain You can take a certain link on your website or anywhere else, and you can paste it straight in here. But one of the tips I would share with you before you paste a big, long link inside of here is to use a link shortener. Have you heard of a link shortener at all?
No.
Okay, so link shorteners, link shortening services, such as this one right here, I'll share with you, it's bit.ly, so bitly.com.
What was it again?
B as in boy, I as in igloo, T as in Tom, L as in Larry, Y as in your.
Okay.
.com. So the cool thing about bit.ly is it's going to take any of the links that you have, okay, the URLs. Okay, in your case, your website is what? What's your domain name?
Start Expecting.
Okay, so startexpecting.com, and let's say you went to a blog post. Okay, you went to your blog, and the blog URL would be startexpecting.com/blog/ the name of the blog post. Okay, that URL is pretty long, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so you'd want to copy the URL from your blog post and then come over here to bit.ly, B-I-T-L-Y, and paste it into the box once you log in. Okay, and then what it's going to do is it's going to condense or shorten that URL to a nice, pretty link. Okay, that looks nice. So it's easier to see, and it doesn't take up all the space when you post it inside of Facebook or post it anywhere else. You could post it in your email or any forum or anywhere else, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, so it shortens it, first and foremost. And then second, it also provides real-time analytics, meaning that it'll tell you how many people have clicked on that link. Okay?
Okay.
So it gives you feedback, immediate feedback, on how many people have clicked on it. So that's good to know, because like we talked about last week on our coaching call, we discussed website tracking and why that's so important. If you're left in the dark about what's going on, then you're left in the dark. You know, you don't know what's going on. You can't make decisions on where to go and what best to do if you don't have any information. And so they'll help you out with generating, you know, a clear idea of the demand. You know, if you just barely posted it and within the next 5 minutes, 233 people clicked on the link. Well, that's pretty good, you know, compared to something else that you posted, and maybe only two people clicked on the link. You know? So, like I said, it gives you excellent feedback on how many people have clicked on it and when they clicked on it. Okay? So keep those things in mind, but that's one of the biggest benefits there. So when you go back to Facebook or anywhere else that we talk about here today and you're wanting to launch a native advertising campaign, then you can use your links, the URLs, and shorten them with bit.ly and then share that link inside of your native ad. Okay?
Okay.
So as you practice that, you'll obviously with anything, you'll get the hang of it, but it's pretty straightforward. You just copy the link, paste inside of bit.ly, and it's automatically going to shorten the link for you. And then you copy the shortened link, and you paste it inside of your ad. Yeah?
Okay.
So that pretty much comprises of the whole process of developing a native advertisement, okay, inside of Facebook. And as I mentioned, these same principles that we're talking about will be applicable in the other platforms that we talk about here shortly. Okay, but we talked about a curiosity-driven headline, and then an image that gets people's attention, and then a call to action. And that call to action can be the button along with the links inside of there from the link shortener service I just barely shared. And then when they click on it, they're going to be taken over to your landing page. So when
okay.
And we're not going to go in depth on the landing page because I've done training on that already. You can listen to that and another in-depth topic for another time, but your landing page is where they're going to go. So you got to pay attention to making sure that the ad that you're just creating, your native advertisement, matches with your landing page in terms of the message. Okay, the image doesn't necessarily have to be on the actual. You know, it should be, if at all possible. Okay, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
But they should match as closely as possible from your ad to your landing page. Because then they feel like, you know, it's all congruent. It all flows. It makes sense. When they click on an ad and they're expecting and they see something that they just barely clicked on, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, it makes sense. And there's not this huge change in environment. Okay?
Okay.
It's not like going to church and then going to a bar. Okay? So keep them in the church. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So let's move on here. Okay, so any questions about that, on how to develop a native ad?
No, I think you've done an excellent job.
Okay, thank you. Now, let's just talk about the differences between the ads on the right-hand side and the effectiveness of that compared to the ads that you see in the stream, the native ads compared to the blatant ads that you see on the right-hand side. Okay, the ads that you see on the right-hand side, people know, once again, that those are ads. And so once they click on those, you know, they're usually going to be expecting to be brought over to some type of offer immediately, right?
Yes.
And that's usually what the mindset is. And so when you create your ads inside of Facebook or anywhere else, that you're presenting the ad in a spot where people will know, they know that those are ads, then just take them straight directly to like an opt-in page or to a video that has some type of value that's being presented and then asks them for their name and email. Okay, but you're going to take them through a fast-track process of getting the lead. The lead meaning their name and email. Okay?
Okay.
The native advertising that you create inside of the stream there, the process of getting their name and email is going to be a bit longer normally. Okay? Because usually what works out better with a native advertising is that when people click on a native ad compared to a direct ad, like on the right-hand side,
uh-huh.
Okay, the native ad is usually going to take the customer to a page like a blog post, okay, like a step-by-step tutorial or maybe a video in a tutorial. Okay. What it's not going to do is it's not going to take them straight to a page where it asks them for their opt-in, for their name and email immediately. Okay, with your native ads. So the landing page with a native ad is going to be a bit different compared to the direct ads that people are posting on the right-hand side of Facebook and Twitter and Google and all that. Okay?
Okay.
So in your case, since you're promoting a $300 coaching package in a month for life coaching package for women that have faced what? What did you say?
Divorce, abuse.
Yeah, divorce or abuse. Okay. Okay, so you'd want to take them over to a page that, maybe a blog post that discusses something in more depth on a specialized topic that's relevant to that discussion.
Okay.
Okay, and then in that blog post, you could have images and links that would link directly to your offer page that then would ask them for their name and email to opt in to get on your list. And then you could start marketing to them and selling them into your coaching program.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So with that process, warms them up a lot more, doesn't it? You know, it takes them from one environment or one step where they saw the ad and they were interested enough to click on it, and then they read an article. They read something that or watched something that was educational and was valuable for them. And then the third step, from there, in the native advertising process, is then you took them to a place where they are now wanting to engage with you as a customer or a prospect. Okay, they want to have a relationship with you. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. So I'll challenge you to go there and develop, your own ad. And inside of Facebook, you can go into, on the right-hand side underneath all the ads, you'll see this link that says advertising, okay? And when you go into your advertising area, that's where you can create your ads.
Okay.
And they have a lot of education inside of Facebook that'll teach you, the ins and outs of using their system and so forth. So if you need, you know, again, once or if you help once again, then just, you know, let us know. But so that's pretty much the gist there with Facebook. Okay, we'll stop there and move on to the next platform. Okay.
Okay.
So let's go over to Google. Okay, if you go to Google.com, Google was actually, you know, the first company that started, you know, native advertising. You know, I'll point it out here. It's going to be a bit different looking, but when you go here, let's just type in life coaching. Okay. Okay, when you type in life coaching in Google, it's going to pull up a bunch of different ads, right?
Yes.
Now, when they first started, you know, and still now, the top three spots, okay, the top three spots in Google, as it stands right now, as of this call, are ads, okay? But those three ads blend in, basically, with the organic ads, starting with the fourth one down, all the way down. You know, the rest of the ads that show on the first page of Google comprise of the first three, and then there's, you know, usually, you know, 12 or so ads right below that that are organic, meaning that those are free ads that are showing there as a result of people or businesses who have optimized their web pages to show in the search engines.
Okay.
Okay. So this is an example of a native ad, because once again, a native ad blends into the environment, right?
Yes.
So those ads are prime realty spots. Okay, those are excellent spots to have your ad show, because people are, you know, they'll be more likely to click on those ads, the first three, compared to the ones on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Yeah. So the ads on the right-hand side, people know right off the bat, bing, 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 those are ads. I know that if I click on them, I'm going to be advertised or marketed to directly. Okay.
Yes.
So two completely different mindsets of audiences. When they come here, they see that. So usually those top three spots on the left-hand side that blend in with the organic ads are the ones that are clicked on the most. And they usually and they cost more, too, overall, in the bidding process. Okay, but that's another training, too, as far as how to go about launching a PPC campaign with Google. But I just wanted to point out that you can create, you know, a native ad, you know, with Google. And, you know, the same thing goes for other networks like Bing. So Bing.com. Bing is a search engine.
Right.
And they have basically the same layout as, you know, as Google. So, and we won't go there, but it's the same type of process. Okay.
Okay.
So any questions about that?
No.
Okay. So you'll notice here as well that, you know, the effective ads that really get your attention, all the ads here, anyways, when you type in life coaching, are all text only. You know, there's no images at all.
Right.
So you really got to have your benefit headline and your text. Yeah, everything, it's very limited spot. You don't nearly have as much room as you do with Facebook. But when people go to Google, the environment is a lot different, because people are there going there deliberately searching for stuff. They're in the market to get answers quickly. Whereas when people go into Facebook, they're not really going there for the sake of searching for answers. They're going to collaborate and network with people, right? And complain about how their dog just barfed, or how, you know, they just went to another vacation, or, you know, they're complaining or sharing and doing all kinds of stuff on there. Yeah, two completely different environments, right?
Right.
So hopefully you see the differences there with search traffic and social traffic. And there's a lot of social systems out there, but Facebook is the biggest and Google is the biggest with search traffic. So
okay,
let's go over to another platform here. Okay, we've gone over Facebook, we've also gone over Google here briefly, and Bing. Now let's go over to Pinterest. Okay, so Pinterest, Pinterest.com. Have you heard of that site before?
I have, but I've never been there.
Okay. So go there real quick, and when you pull that up, Pinterest is a huge site that's driven by images. Okay, there's text underneath many of the images, but primarily it's all image driven. And so, you know, the basic breakdown with Pinterest is, you know, when you're sharing things on there, find awesome images that are informative, like infographics and images that are valuable, sharing recipes, fashion design. I mean, there's all kinds of things that range from A to Z, based upon the interests that people have. So when you find images, you can post them on here. And so with your native advertising goals, they just barely introduced the native advertising platform with Pinterest. And more companies are hopping on the bandwagon with native advertising because, bottom line, how are these companies really making their money? Through advertising. That's the number one source for Google. If Google wasn't making so much money with, their advertising, I don't know, what would they would be doing. But they'd make a boatload of money, through advertising. And everything is geared towards incentivizing people to do more and more advertising with them. And the same thing with these other companies, with Pinterest and Twitter, and the list goes on and on. And so they've introduced the same type of opportunity where you can take your images and text and you can post it here and it'll blend into the environment, which is what a native advertising is, or native ad is. And then when people scroll through their their pins, as they call it, they'll be able to see your ad, and they they won't really know exactly if it's a blatant ad because it blends in. Okay. And so the likelihood of having someone click on a native ad compared to a direct ad is huge. There's some stats that I'm just looking at here based upon some research that was done as of the past year. It says here that consumers looked at native ads 52% more frequently than banner ads. So that's pretty good. That's a lot higher. It makes sense too, right? I mean, if you think about it, maybe it all blends in the environment and, people just click on it because it's there, it's right in front of them, and the attention is, devoted to that, those spots inside of, the website more compared to, the banner ads. And, 25% more consumers were measured to look at in-feed native ad placements rather than standard banners. Do you know what banner ads are?
I know what they are. I've seen them before, but...
Okay. So just briefly, banner ads are simply squares or rectangles that are images, and they're ads. Okay. So if you were to go to, let's say, KSL.com. So KSL is a news and radio station. And when you go there, you'll see banner ads on the right-hand side. Immediately, you'll see them right on the right-hand side. And as you scroll down, you'll see a bunch of other banner ads on the right-hand side. And all the way down at the very bottom, you'll see some more. Okay? Those are all banner ads. Okay? So people are less likely to click on those compared to ads that are in the actual blog post or in the actual article inside of the news feed. Okay. This is another interesting stat here. So Moore said that the native ad is an ad I would share with friends or family members. So 32% of the people who were polled in this, said that they would be far more likely to share an ad. Because it's not like they're deceiving them at all, because they all say sponsor, they all say ad, just like with Google.
Right.
The top three, it says ad right next to it. It's just that people are more likely to share those compared to ads that are deliberately classified as ads,
Right.
So that's a good sign, especially as an advertiser, especially as someone as yourself who wants to get your message out in a big way in front of people so you can not just be profitable, but, grow it and share and help people out. Okay? Another one is that more of who previously bought a product from the advertiser said they personally identify with the brand after viewing a native ad. So they have a greater connection with, native ads, 71% compared to 50. And so we'll stop there on the stats. But so overall, the bottom line is, it works a lot better. and it develops a, you know, a trust relationship with people a lot quicker. So let's go back to Pinterest. I'll share with you a few other tips, and then we'll go over a few other platforms, and then go over a few questions they might have. So with Pinterest, like I said, it's all image-driven. When you know, I won't go into the technicalities of setting up an account and so forth and posting pins, but when you post your image and your text, the same thing goes with what I shared with on Facebook. Okay, use images that get their attention, that once you're, you know, once their eyes are, you know, looking at the image, then the text should lead them on to the next step. Okay, but with Pinterest, when you click on an image, it's going to pop up the full image, okay, and just a bigger size of it. And then right below it, they'll have a more descriptive, you know, detailed synopsis of what's going on. And that's where you'd want to put the link, okay?
Okay.
So as they start to get, you know, more familiar with all these different platforms, you know, the customized approaches of launching it is going to be a little bit different, but once again, the principles are going to be same, you know, the same all across the board. Okay.
Okay.
Curiosity-driven headline, image that gets their attention, call to action. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so let's hop over to Twitter. Okay, so with Twitter, you know, they I think within the last year or so, it hasn't been around for terribly too long, but the landscape with Twitter has changed, and it's been, you know, it's been more wide in terms of how the information is being presented. It used to be just all crunched in right in the middle of the page, but now it's bigger, so I like it. So the area that you would go with Twitter is you would go to ads.twitter.com, so ads.twitter.com. And when you go there, you can create, you know, your native ad. And when you go to Twitter, you know, people are posting updates, just like within Facebook. But, you know, what's that?
I said yes.
Okay, yeah, cool. So with the tweets, these are just updates on what, you know, but, you know, what people are doing or where they're going, you know, what's going on in their business, tips and strategies. Okay, same thing with these other networks. People are sharing all kinds of stuff. But as you go through your Twitter feed, okay, just like with Facebook, okay, these are things that are in common with one another because they're both social media sites. And they both are based upon a stream of content. Okay, it's called the feed. And so the feed, it's just like a stream. It's always going on. And so that information is not going to be static. It's not going to stick there forever. You know, so once you post a tweet, it's going to be pushed down by your next tweet. And your followers, okay, the people who are following you, are automatically going to get your tweets, your notifications. But with your ads, okay, when you create an ad inside of Twitter, you can actually get that status, that tweet, and market it to anyone in the world, okay, where Twitter is allowed. Not just in front of people who are following you. Okay, you can get that your tweet and post it, and you can say, "I want to share my my tweet with, you know, people in, you know, Australia and Canada and Ireland and America. I want to target these people, those countries, and I want to break it down even in more detail. I want to target women who are really interested in," and then fill in the blank. You know, you can just choose all the interests that you want to target.
Okay.
So you think about the women that you want to target with your life coaching. Well, you want to target people or women who have gone through divorce, okay? You want to target women who have, okay, fill in the blank. And so you write these things down ahead of time. This is your profile for your audience target. And then you can go into Twitter or Pinterest or Facebook or Google or anywhere else, and you can set up your targeting parameters.
Okay.
Okay, and then that tweet or ad is going to show in front of those people. All right?
Okay.
So, once again, though, with your native ads, people are going to be far more likely to click on them because it blends into the entire feed process with Twitter. And there's all kinds of cool strategies that you can implement here with this platform, too. you know, such as the cards, the ID cards that you can develop, you know, the connection cards that they have, and you can learn more about that when you log in and create an account with Twitter. But
okay.
It just gives you a bigger space, okay, of it gives you more space on Twitter to be able to present not just text but also images and more information instead of just a tweet. Because your tweets are going to be limited. Just like with Google, you can only put X amount of text, and then that's it. And it's also a good thing that they do that too, because once again, you don't have a lot of room to put all the details, and that's not the point with an ad. So, anyways, that's another thing that they offer is these ID cards that you can, these networking cards, as they call it. It's kind of like a business card in person. When you give a business card to someone, usually has your picture along with a telephone number and contact info and maybe some type of offer, right?
Okay.
That's what you can do inside of Twitter. Okay, you can basically develop your business card, and you can share that business card with people. Okay.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
It is.
Okay, so the last one that we'll talk about is LinkedIn. Have you heard of LinkedIn before?
Yes, I have.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So who just said me too?
Francisco.
Oh, Francisco. Cool. How you doing there?
Just fine. I was listening in the background in here because I got in a little bit late.
Sue, super. I could tell.
Yeah.
Good, good. How are you, man? Well, so Linda and Francisco, okay? So LinkedIn is also a completely different environment, and each one of these platforms that we're talking about has a different feel, right? It's just like going to, a different friend's house. You know, they all have different environments. And so with LinkedIn, it's more of a business feel, more professional environment, and get a lot of folks business-wise networking with each other here. And so when you go there, they have an advertising system as well, okay? And so we won't spend time going over all the other steps that we've already discussed, but the same thing applies here, okay? They have a feed, okay? When you look at, the feed inside of LinkedIn, these are all status updates, articles, things that people are interested in, that people are posting, and you can do the same thing, okay? So when you're sharing your native ad, remember that you want to create an ad that blends in to the environment, okay? Like a chameleon, it blends into the environment. So, when you have a native ad, it's going to be far more likely they'd be clicked on compared to an ad that's more direct. But here, the advertising targeting abilities are going to be pretty close compared to like Twitter. Facebook, however, has a lot more precise targeting abilities. You can get very, very precise within Facebook. And so just a few tips I would share with you is if you go to Facebook, I would first start there with your native advertising because you can get your feet wet a lot faster and not have to spend as much. And you can target, like I said, a lot more precisely. And if you can get your ad to generate some great results on there, then it's usually going to be far more likely to perform just as good or if not better on other platforms, such as Pinterest and LinkedIn and Twitter and Google and Bing and all that. Okay.
So what one would recommend after Facebook as far as, like life coaching? Would the next one be LinkedIn?
I would do Google.
You would do Google?
Google AdWords?
Yeah, AdWords, exactly. So AdWords.google.com.
Yeah, I've heard that they're good but expensive.
They are. They've positioned themselves, and rightfully so, because they do it great, And they're the pioneers in it. But they're premium traffic. So and you pay a premium price for it.
Everybody gets in Google, so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they do the job amazingly well. They're number one. So
Which one?
Google.
Yeah.
So Google. So people, You know, Google owns most of the market share out there in the search traffic. And but Facebook, you know, they own the most of the social traffic out there. You know, there's billions of people going to Facebook every month. And same thing with Google, they have boatloads of people going there every single day too, but they're two different environments. So first, go to Facebook. They get started off with their native advertising goals. Okay, it's a great and easy way to get started off with this. Okay, set aside $20 and test it out. Okay, create your ad and target specifically. Okay, don't be general. Be specific. Okay, saying I want to target people. Not just people, but who? What kind of people? Like in your case, you know, Linda, women who have just experienced divorce, who are going through this and this, that live in these areas, you can also target what kinds of things they like, what kind of books they like reading, what kind of people they hang out with, what kind of groups they associate with. I mean, you can target really precise with them. Whereas with Google, you can't do that. You know, you can't target based upon what they're interested in. You know, you can basically do that roundabout way through targeting keywords, okay, through Google, but they're two different systems, okay. So start there, and then suggest going over to Google afterwards, okay.
Okay, and then after that.
Yeah, and then after that, you can start branching out. Okay, I would look at right now. I always have at least three or four platforms that are always going on. And I test things out to see which ones perform better. And there's a lot of strings that you're pulling to see which ones perform better in what environment. Okay, but keep things simple, especially to start off with, and start off with Facebook and get your feet wet and learn how to go about implementing what we just barely talked about. Okay.
Okay.
Create an awesome ad that blends into the environment and make sure that it links to a blog post or links to something else that's valuable, okay? Because the topic here today is native advertising. It's not creating direct ads, okay? Two different topics, okay? We're specifically focusing on native advertising, how to go about doing that successfully, okay?
Okay.
So launch your ad and then link that ad to a blog post that is then that blog post or a video that you've created that then links to an opt-in page or a sales page from there, okay? Those three steps in a native advertising sequence. Post your native ad, direct them to a blog post or something valuable that they can enjoy, and then send them to a sales page, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So with LinkedIn, I think we're just going to stop right there. The same elements apply to that environment. So I mentioned that was going to be the last one, but just real quick, YouTube is another huge place that you can do this at. Okay, when you go to YouTube and watch some of the videos, you'll notice that on these YouTube videos that certain ads pop up, and you have to watch the ad for say 8 seconds before you can skip it.
Yeah.
Okay. There's that. There's also the ads that pop up and also show after the video. Okay, the ads that show inside of YouTube in the whole stream of the video are called native ads. Okay, because once again, native ads, I've gone over the, I just want to really hit this home, which is an ad that blends in to the environment of where that person's paying attention to. If they're paying attention to watching the video, well, we want to be able to direct that attention towards presenting an ad where possible, okay? And so I'll just leave it at that point there with YouTube, because there's a lot more to that, but just know that you can do the same thing that we're talking about here just visually and video-wise with YouTube, okay? And YouTube is an enormous search engine, just like with Google, okay? You can create fantastic videos and just do amazingly well with YouTube, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll stop there for the day. That's the end of the call, but I'd like to open it up to any specific questions that you might have before we end. So do you guys have any questions at all?
I don't have any, but I do want to thank you for an outstanding call. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. You're awesome.
Yeah, me too. I really thank you. I'd like to read a little bit about the difference between today's theme and regular marketing things. Where can I go to get some more information?
If you email me, I'll send you over some links. You know,
okay.
And if this call is also recorded, you can re-listen to it as well. But bottom line, we live in the information age, and so when you look at, when you go to Google, you know, Google is just a huge valuable source of information. You know, information is at your fingertips, literally. You can just go there, type in your question, and boom, you'd be amazed what comes up. So any type of question you have, you type it in, and presto, you got your answer. You know, or at least a list of sources that will, you know, direct you, which is the job of Google. You know, they want to be able to have the best system out there, because once again, it ties into the advertising. More people use it, you know, they find it valuable, and more people will want to advertise on it.
Correct. Well, thank you.
So yeah, you betcha. Any other questions?
Not really.
Okay. All right, Francisco, you're the man too. So. Have a fantastic day, both of you, and we'll plan on next week. We'll be doing a different topic here, okay? And I'll announce that here this next week.
Well, thank you again.
All right. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Linda.